Welcome to the Maverick Podcast, business growth tips and discussions to make you the expert in demand.
Hello and welcome to this episode of the Maverick Podcast. I am Luke Toon. Today I'm James. I'm joined by Jamie Levin from J11 Communications. How are you doing today, Jamie?
I'm great. Thanks so much, Luke. How are you?
I'm fantastic. I get your surname right. I was debating with the team. I was like, is it Levin? Is it like...
No, you got it right. Brilliant.
So for everyone, you're over in Florida, obviously I'm here in Plymouth, so we're kind of we're crossing the seas, but we are going to talk about something which is important for any business international, which is communication. Do you want to give people just a rundown of yourself, your journey, and what you currently help people with?
Sure. So as you mentioned, I am a strategic communications consultant, and my agency is J11 Communications. We partner with clients to support their internal and external communications initiatives. My journey, wow. 15 plus years in communication, spanning different sectors. Went to graduate school for it. Really thought I was going to go into health communication because that's what I was passionate about. That's what my thesis was on. My life took me in different directions to construction and automotive, and now I get to dabble in a little bit of everything, so it keeps it really exciting.
That's good. Whenever I say like, oh, we want to do like a little brief introduction of yourself, so everyone goes on such a different journey, because I was into retail. I did some working in an aquarium at a point in time. So everyone's got like a different way of where they've ended up. But it's all stuff that builds towards, you know, having offer and the experience that you've got. And that's kind of where we are currently with Maverick, is what we do is we show people how they can communicate their value to people on social media. And with yourself, you've got how to communicate with internal and external in terms of their business, which is really interesting because there's a big, I think, push right now for internal communications and how you can maximize the potential of the people that you work with. Because if you're working in a corporate company, you maybe have hundreds of employees, and what you want is you want the brand message and you want that message portrayed across the board. And you don't want a scenario where someone asks, well, what do you do? What's your main goals as a company? And then a new person in the building might go, I don't know. I was hired to be in the mail room. And it's like, you know, it's, you want to communicate that fully. So in terms of internal and external communication, what are the common mistakes that you see internally that people make?
I think one of the common mistakes is just a mistake across so many industries, regardless of if you're in communications or retail or sales or marketing, right? Is just listen to your audience, right? Take the time to ask some questions. Don't assume, I don't want to say what that really stands for, right? But don't assume that you know everything, because you will get so many answers just by listening. So even if you think you have the best internal newsletter, right, that's like hitting all these points that you want to hit as a, you know, let's just say as your leadership or your executive committee, what do your associates want to hear who are out in the field, who are geographically widespread? What do they want to hear about? What's of interest to them? Do not just assume that you know. So I think that's really big thing that, like, yes, it takes a little bit of time, but you will learn so much. It is absolutely priceless.
Especially when it comes to the type of knowledge that's going out there. If it's just company updates, after your third or fourth one, I feel like people will say, okay, I kind of know all this stuff, or it's something which isn't relevant to them, which is, it's hard to do in a newsletter where it goes to an entire company, because what's relevant to sales and marketing might not be relevant to maybe the higher ups or anyone in the team who's like fighting on the grounds and you know, trying to, you know, maybe work with a tech or maybe trying to work in a different field. So it's something which you need to communicate across the board, which keeps everyone interested, which can be a battle in itself.
Right. And I think to your point, this idea of connecting with your audience, like you guys mentioned that you do for your clients, is if it's not interesting to them, they're not going to open it. Right. So like, they're not going to open that email. They're not going to click on that video feature that's on social media. So if it's not of interest to them, you can spin your wheels and do as much work as you'd like to, but if it's not reaching your audience, it's not having an impact. So you're wasting your time.
Yeah, there's multiple thresholds of interest, I believe, because you've got that. If we're talking this about email marketing campaigns, you would have the subject title is the first threshold you have to go for. If they don't click on that, that email's not read. Then you click through again, and then it's the contents. If you don't read from the first sentence, you can kind of get the gist of an email from the first sentence. If that doesn't engage you at all, you click off it. You don't read the rest of the email. if you get past that threshold, you've got the rest of the content of the email. Right. And then from there, it's for click-throughs, which is another threshold. So all you're doing is you have to keep pushing things a little bit further. And it's a way of doing that without, I feel it's a art in itself to maintain that interest without trying to hold the carrot too far away from the person, because then they'll know what you're doing. They're like, oh, here's a dot, dot, dot. So you have to read more each time. And we both, everyone knows that. Everyone knows what you're trying to do. And if you're too obvious with it, it's, I can tell you're doing this for my clicks. I can tell you're doing this for this. And people don't like feeling manipulated when it comes to reading their content.
Right. So, I mean, to your point, it's just like with your personal email, right? Your business email is no different. So there are certain emails that you're clicking on, to your point, because you're like, ooh, this is a sale or something, and it's a really a store that I like. And then there are certain things where you're like, this is a hook. I don't have time to do this right now. And so you just don't click on it at all.
Especially with the action emails. If you're a leader and you've put out a list of actions, but you put everyone in the same email, what it can do is, even if you have a very important action in that email and you're searching for it, but you feel like the content in itself isn't anything really to do with you or responsibility wise, people can go, oh, okay, this seems like an email directed at our tech side. You know, I am part of a different side of things. I'm part of the writing side. Right. So maybe I'm not going to worry about it. But deep inside that email, you've got, okay, we want the writing side to make sure these things are achieved. And you miss it because the gist of email was like all about one sort of aspect. And in the middle, you tacked on a little bit else, which was an important action, and you can miss it. So, right. I mean, one, you can feel like, oh, maybe the person should have read it all. But at the same time, the communication got in the way because the content got in the way.
Right. And we're all so busy, right? So you have to think about, what are the different avenues that I can reach people? How do people, again, this goes into the whole listening aspect. How do people like to receive their news? A lot of people don't like email anymore, right? So is it a Teams message? Is it a text message if your company allows it, a quick video text from your leadership team. So that goes into that whole listening component too, right? It's not just what your team members want to hear, it's how they like to receive their news as well.
So how would you go about creating this compelling internal newsletter? What would be the first tip that you would go for? If someone said, okay, this is my newsletter, and you took a look at it, what would be the first thing you're looking for that you could improve?
Yeah, I mean, I think, again, I go back to, even if it's something that you've been doing for 10 years, you have to be evolving, right? Like, the world is evolving, the different ways that people can receive their news is evolving. So I think I go back to first, you know, finding a focus group or surveying team members from different areas of your business, again, to find out, you know, how do they like to receive their news? What kind of information do they want to hear about? Do they want to know about associate anniversaries, right? Because people are a huge component to any company. Do they want to hear about community initiatives and giving back? And then really try to like focus on the things that people want to hear about first. Also, we're all so busy, and especially I've supported communications in the world of retail. At the end of the day, you don't want your team members in front of their computer, right? You want them supporting customers and supporting fellow team members. So sending a 15-page newsletter to a retail team member, why? Right? Like, you go back and you're like, you guys spun your wheels. You spent so much time on this. It may look beautiful. Your creative department may deliver like a beautiful looking piece. It was a waste of time, because nobody has time to sit there and read a 15-page newsletter.
You don't want everyone sat on the shop floor looking through your phones.
Exactly, right? Like, that's not the point. It's like this idea of news you can use, right? Like, what connects you to your company? That's where I would go first. You know, also finding out what works, what doesn't. It's just, I think we lose this component. So, you know, so many people, we just get into the grind, right? Run the play. Once we have the play outline, let's just run it. No, you need to revisit that play every once in a while. The same play doesn't work year after year, just like it doesn't for any professional sports team, right? Eventually someone figures it out and they're like, we're not that interested anymore. Oh, we know exactly how to tackle this. It's no different within your company.
Yeah, the tried and true method becomes tried and true, but then it becomes tried and tested, and then it becomes tried and played out. So it's an issue of evolving yourself, because it might be the same way of approaching it. It might be, oh, we've got a newsletter, or we've got this way of approaching our customers. We've been doing it for the last 10 years. And this is something we advocate when it comes to our sales approach now, because we prefer social selling, because one, you're approaching the right people. You're actually engaging with someone who's interested in your work, and you're not bothering anyone. What you're doing is you're offering value.
Right.
And it's one of those issues where you can go away from the old methods of cold calling and outreach and just basically putting your message out there and out there and out there and being really pushy. But now we live in more of a social age, so you've had to adapt, and people are still adapting right now. So far, people are still adapting in the ways where you've got business owners and entrepreneurs making their own content without teams. They're being influencers themselves, and they're trying their best to adapt and show their value on social platforms and through right. external communication. And they're finding the audience with it, because everyone's finding a place to be online, which is what all the social media is trying to accomplish. That's probably the reason why we've got a few echo chambers out there, because what we've done is the algorithms has put people together so they can just talk and they can innovate or they can argue. That's what they do. But at the same time, it's the way to approach sales, and way to market, and way to approach outreach currently is by getting involved in those niches, getting involved in those spaces, and then, you know, offering enough value, dominating it, and you know, become the leader of those spaces.
Right.
So the way of approaching that from external and external is by just providing a lot of value, but being there and present and working and mastering communicating with people on their level. Right.
Well, and I think to your point, you know, you bring up this whole idea also of two-way communication. That is so important, right? It's no longer like someone barking at you and just telling you. Like there's this opportunity for two-way communication, which is good for brainstorming, which is good for ideation, which is good for just providing different perspectives, right? Like you may see something and or read something and this is how you interpret it, but what does it mean to someone else? Right. And I think that's also a really important component of this idea of listening and fine tuning your communications, both internal and external.
I agree, because if you don't actually do that, then what happens? You're basically, if you're not listening to what someone's saying on the other side, you know, you're not going to tailor your approach at all. And if they're your target audience and you're not listening to them, all you're doing is alienating yourself, and then right. you have no one really to talk to. You're kind of just being a billboard going, oh, I think this. And if no one agrees with you at all, then you're on your own. Worse so, you can actually convince yourself that you're doing really well, but you have a huge group of people who are actually buying into what you're saying. Mm-hmm. You're not actually creating clients. You're not actually collating or helping people. They're just reaffirming your point of view. And this is where viral versus being like a marketer and a digital marketer and social selling come into it. Like there's viral, which is you've got loads of people going, yes, I agree, and I agree with you. But then on the other side of things, you actually want to create clients. You actually want to have your brand message out there. You want people buying into you rather mm-hmm. than just saying, yeah, no, this person's really great, but I'm never going to buy anything from them.
Right. It's all about creating customers at the end of the day. And you know, I mean, I think it also goes back to this idea of people, it's not really what we're talking about right now, but people like to do business with people who do good things, right? And companies that do good things. So this idea of community and stewardship and giving back, and that all is still really relevant. And the idea from an attracting and retaining talent perspective of people like to work for companies that do good, right? So how are you sharing that message without it also seeming like you're patting yourself on the back? Because we should be good people. We should want to give back to the community, right? We shouldn't really be rewarded for it. That should just be ingrained in who we are. So I think that provides an interesting communication component as well.
Yeah, it's taking, you want to make sure you're not just taking boxes, you're doing it for the right reasons.
Exactly.
Which is probably when it comes to employee advocacy and making people talk about your business, who work for your business in a positive light. If you reward it in a sense too much or incentivize it too much, it can seem that all they'll do is put propaganda for you. And that can really right. harm your business, because all you're doing really is having sales content out there constantly.
Right. And look, I mean, I've dealt with that arm for many years. And of course, nonprofit organizations, money is a huge component. But time is also a big component, right? And for so many of us, our time is our most valuable asset, right? And so being able to really contribute and also give your time, I think, and also a company that supports you giving your time, I think sends a really strong message as well.
I agree, because I think there's the work-life balance in a sense where people have a separate between their work and their lifestyle. But we know if you really enjoy where you're working and you feel rewarded and you're doing that work, it won't feel like you'll need that switch off as harshly, where you're happy to go the extra mile. Because we've seen it before. I think it was last year and coming into this year, people were quiet quitting and just saying, okay, this company doesn't reflect my ideals. They don't reward me for certain things. Our ethics don't align. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to do my job. I'm going to coast by. And at the same time, it could be a fundamental issue within the company where the culture is wrong. So I don't necessarily agree or disagree with people who quiet quit. I think it's on a case-by-case basis.
Right.
But if you want people to go online and communicate how great your business is, you need to create that great business.
Right, exactly. It can't just be a facade, it has to be real.
So we discussed internal, let's talk about external and talk about how clients and customers on the outside will come and see your business. You've done quite a lot of work with PR currently. I feel like in terms of small business currently, I think earned media is a way they're kind of going about it. PR, press releases, it kind of seems like a bit of a gray area for a lot of people just starting out. How would you say people can approach that from a starting point in a sense?
Right. I think you're spot on, right? It's a bit of a gray area. It seems like a lot of extra credit, right? Because it's really hard to prove your ROI. So it's like, okay, I'm going to spend either this much time or this much money partnering with someone who can help me get the word about my company. But I can never prove that 10 customers came in because I was able to secure a placement in my local newspaper or, you know, my local news station, right? So there's the upheld battle in the first place, right? So I always say I'm a words person, so it's really hard for me to prove my numbers sometimes, unless I'm able to say to you, you know, we got this feature in this local publication, this amount of space would cost X in an advertisement. That's about as close as I can get for you. But it's how you leverage that after the fact, right? It's not just, yes, I secured this feature in this local publication and my target audience is local, you know, is my local community. What are you doing with it after? What are you doing with it after it runs in the newspaper? Are you posting it to your social channels? Are you using it as a business development tool? You know, are you recognizing it when you're with, in networking organizations? So I think to your point, it's very interesting. You know, I've talked a lot recently to clients about press releases. And some people might want to slap me on the wrist for this. I'm not a huge press release person, right? Like, if you're distributing it over the wire and you're doing it for purposes of SEO, of course, it can help. Yes, 100%. It also costs money, right, to do that. It's not free to distribute something over the wire. So I think a lot of times it's figuring out who do you want to talk to? Where does it make the most sense? Do you want to cast a wide net and just, again, see what you can get? Or is there a really specific target audience that makes sense for you to write a pitch letter to say, hey, my name is Jamie and I can speak to these topics or, you know, and start going about it that way as like an introductory piece, maybe offer a backgrounder, or do you want to leverage an awareness month that makes you, you know, that makes your topic more relevant at that point, right? So there's different ways to go about it. I'm not huge on the press release anymore, though. That's for sure.
It's interesting. I feel earned media is kind of taking more of a front step to it, where you'll write blogs and articles from your own site, maybe do like a backlinking strategy where you're asking other people for links from their sites with a higher domain ranking, and maybe vice versa. So what I did myself was for our blogs, I wrote about 200 blogs for the Maverick website, and my main strategy was answering questions to get into the Google rich results. I wanted all the snippets possible.
Right.
So what I was focusing on was, okay, if people are looking for anything to do with LinkedIn, with social media, and it helps them with their marketing or sales, they're going to need these questions like, what's the right size of header? What's the right size of profile picture? And that is how we got most of our impressions going forward. So if I look at press releases themselves, and they're probably going to be great for our events going forward. But at the same time, we need to make sure that you're approaching it in a sense of what's the best return.
Right.
And like you said, it's very hard, difficult to quantify if you're being featured in this news article, or if you've been featured on this website. What does it mean for you? It may be in terms of traffic goes up, but that could be from different reasons, because we try loads of different things, and people might be searching us for different areas. So in a sense, it's, I guess, like you say, asking your audience once again, where did you find me? You know, how did you see what was I seen against as well? And from there, you could probably track from there if it was worth your time and effort put into creating, because not only that, once you create a press release, you have to make sure it's the right press release, because they will obviously say, no, that's wrong, you can't have this if it's all promotional material, because it needs to be newsworthy. So if you're using it as a marketing tool, you have to make sure you've got news. You need to be formatted in the correct way, which can be a struggle for someone who's just getting into it, who just wants their name out there in their local paper. Next thing you know, they're strapped with a lot of different rules. And they're like, okay, this feature now has nothing what I wanted to share with it, just because I wanted to like tick those boxes to make sure it got out. So it can be quite worrying. So I would say go about the blog and article route first. And from there, I actually got quite a lot of people asking for guest spots on our blogs and using that. Because if you want to get into the backlinks and get in those connections, people will come to you if you've given enough value and if they, you know, respect you enough.
Because it helps from the credibility perspective too, right? I mean, I actually wrote a blog post recently about leveraging other outlets, not just traditional media, to your point, to get your word out, right? Like, for example, if you're a part of a large networking organization, do you know that one of the membership benefits you have is leveraging their channels to get the word out? Well, if you're part of that network organization, it's likely that you're a part of it because you think some of your fellow members could also be potential clients or customers, right? So why wouldn't you take the opportunity to message them directly? Also, with newsrooms being so slim, just like so many other organizations are these days, people are looking for contributors, right? So is there an op-ed piece maybe where you can, you know, deliver a very interesting angle or something like that that would also be helpful to that newsroom in providing from a content perspective? So just, you know, a lot to think about.
Yeah, we've delved into the hole of how to get your name out of it.
Right.
Because I mean, there's so many different ways you can do it, which is probably why when we're talking about communication in general, there's lots of ways to get it right, lots of ways to get it wrong. But I feel the worst thing you can do is just to try and leave it up to whatever comes in a sense. Like, you need to have some form of outreach, and it needs to be continuous outreach. Because what I see a lot of the time is people will go in, have a strategy, do it all at once, and then they stop, which it doesn't help with obviously with your domain or your blogs. You might like front load it with five, leave it there because it's just there now on the website. And there's some of the biggest websites I've seen only have like a blog out every 2 months. And it's like, there's so much you could be writing about. It doesn't need to be, you know, War and Peace, full on dossiers. You know, you don't need to rewrite the whole book. All you need to do is just offer some good value, share some insights with the news, and just, you know, create that audience coming back to you.
Right. And to your point, it doesn't always have to be the same person writing that content, right? Perspective is a good thing. So it doesn't only have to be the CEO of your company who's contributing to blog content, which we all know likely isn't even the CEO in the first place, right? It's probably someone ghostwriting because who has time? But perspective is a good thing. So if you have a company, you know, with 20 people, you can see who else wants to get engaged and involved in writing blog content. It does not always have to be the same person. And to your point, you don't want to date your website either. So it's like, if you're great at posting blog content and then you just get overwhelmed with other things and so you don't post for a year, you might want to consider like hiding that page until you're ready to pick it back up again, because it just makes it seem like you're not keeping up with other things and you're unintentionally sending messages without even sending messages to your audience.
That, I mean, that can happen with blogs. It can also happen on social media where you decide to do it all at once and then you leave it for a bit. It's a thing you see on YouTube quite often where someone will put a video out there, and then if you want to get more subscribers, what other people will do is they'll look on your page, and if you've posted once in the last year, they'll go, well, this person doesn't upload frequently enough for my liking. I'm not going to bother subscribing because there's not going to be another video.
Right.
I think it could be the same with blogs. It could be the same with any posts. It could be like, I know this person isn't really frequent, so this is probably the only value I'm going to get right now for the next year. So, what should I do?
To your point, sorry, one more thing. Like, you mentioned strategy, and it is like, it's not just a word. Like, it's real, right? So whether it's the strategy for your PR campaign or the strategy behind your website and posting of content, like, it's okay to stray from it, but make sure you're revisiting it and make sure you have one first to guide you along the way, because it will really help. Spending that extra time up front will really help to streamline along the way.
It does help with content so much, having a plan set out and having subtopics and topics that you can talk about, because what you do is instead you'll look at your page and you'll go, okay, what should I write about today? And then you'll start writing. I mean, a good way to beat that is to just start writing and see what comes out of your head. But that's like the last resort. You shouldn't be doing that every time.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree. We're 100% aligned.
But something you mentioned earlier, which was interesting about having other people can write the content, it's generational content as well, because now we're seeing more members of Gen Z coming into the office. I think 23% are now coming in. And as time goes on, we're going to see generations of people writing and discussing, especially content as well. As content marketing is going to be huge, it's still huge, it's going to be huge in the future. You're going to see loads of different people creating content, and you're going to see how they do it, the difference in the content and the difference in approach, but you also see difference in perspective. As you can see, well, a lot of Gen Z care a lot about the more ethical sides of businesses, as they should, sustainability. They won't work for companies who don't align with their morals right at the same time, which is good to see. So what you'll see is a lot of people who are very passionate about writing as well, about their fields. And you're going to just, I don't know if it's going to be really a battle, but you're going to see a lot of different generations talking and approaching content, marketing, sales in a different light, with maybe older generations talking about how it used to be, how it is now, and how those experiences can feed into these new experiences. You're going to see how the younger generations use technology and AI and their social abilities to then sell and distribute themselves. So it's going to be interesting to see going forward, like how that acts in the whole marketing landscape.
Right. Well, and to your point, this whole idea of like AI, right? It blows my mind what's going on right there too. So it's like, it's not even people creating content anymore, right? So it'll be interesting. And to your point, it's keeping up with it and realizing what works. Some of these new, great, efficient tools might not work for your company and your strategy. And that's okay. But like, just make sure you're aware of them. I mean, there's always going to be the new hot thing, right? Like, regardless of the industry you're in. But it's good to keep up with them if you can. It doesn't necessarily mean it's for you. And again, that's okay.
Exactly. It's what we say. It's not the tools, it's how you use it.
Exactly.
And that can go for anything. You know, it can go for AI. It can go for sales. It can go for marketing. You can have all of the schedulers, you can have all of the platforms, you can have all of the highest premium software available to you. But if you don't use them to their maximum ability, you're not going to get anywhere.
Right. And you could potentially just be spending money for no reason too, on top of everything else, right? It's that idea of, if you have these great resources and you're investing in these great platforms, also educate yourself on the capabilities, right? Like, what can you learn from them? What analytics do you now have access to because of them? Again, part of that whole idea of listening, right? It doesn't necessarily need to just be people, but what analytics are you privy to now that, like, oh, you know, I didn't know people were more likely to click on you know, things that are above the scroll, which we know, right? But like those types of things are very interesting, right? So, you know, again, just make sure you're paying attention and utilizing the tools that are available to you.
So my last question going on, what is one piece of advice you would give to someone right now that would help grow their business?
Make sure you're passionate about what you're doing or else you will have no interest in growing your business, right? It will, to your point, like it'll seem like grunt work instead of passion and what you're interested in and what you believe in. So just because something may have this beautiful salary or crazy potential, if you're not passionate about it, it doesn't matter.
I think it's the stream's cutting out a little bit there. Should we just do that last question one more time?
Sure. Okay, do you want to ask it again?
I got passion and then it it froze for me for about 5 minutes. I'm sorry about that.
No worries.
I'll ask the question again.
Okay.
So what would be your one piece of advice to give to someone to grow their business right now?
Make sure you're passionate about what you're doing, because if you are not, it'll seem like grunt work. It doesn't matter what the upside is from a financial perspective. Hey, that helps. I get it. But if you're not passionate about it, if it's not what drives you, if it's not what makes you want to get up and like really do well, and your heart's not in it, it's going to be really hard to grow it, because growing something takes a lot of effort.
I agree. If not in 100%, then it's going to be a slog for you and a slog for everyone around you.
Right. And you make everybody else miserable, and that's not good for potential business either.
Exactly. So Jamie, if people want to reach you and find you to help with your services, how can they reach you?
Sure. So they can visit my website, which is jlevincommunications.com. Find me on LinkedIn. That's really the most, the platform I'm most involved in, and Jamie Levin. And I really appreciate your time. It was a pleasure talking to you. And I just think that the podcast serves to reinforce the power of communication, right? We may never would never have connected in a prior life. With me, I think we're 5 hours apart, many miles apart, but it just goes to show the evolution of communication and how many interesting people you can meet these days. So thanks for your time.
Well, Maverick are actually in Miami soon for one of our Grow Your Business events. So feel free if you're ever in the area to come down.
Very cool.
So I'll just do a sign off now. Thank you for everyone for watching or listening to the Maverick podcast. I am Luke Tu, and we will see you next time for our next show.